Welcome to Wheelchair Nerds, a podcast to connect and inform people who utilize, prescribe, and provide seating and wheel mobility equipment. I'm your host, Angie Kiger. Before we jump into today's topic, a brief reminder that the information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended to be medical, billing, or legal advice. Now, let's get to it. Hey, wheelchair nerds, welcome back to another episode. We're excited to be here. I believe this is episode number 17 of Wheelchair Nerds. Crazy how fast the year is flowing. We are recording this in early September. Fall is upon us. Pumpkin spice is here. So everybody is really starting to feel that fall vibe, although it was 97 here today in the Washington, D.C. area, so I'm not feeling that fall vibe, but that's okay. I've got two friends joining me this week for us to talk about some pressure injuries, some air-celled cushions, all sorts of really cool things. My favorite part of this podcast we've got for you guys today is that we've got someone who understands all the insides and outs when it comes to engineering a wheelchair cushion. And then I also have a gentleman who's been utilizing wheelchair cushions for a while. So really bringing those two worlds together to hear the perspective from the clinical application and then also the everyday use. So I am super excited. I hope you guys are too. Just as a quick disclaimer, we have this at the beginning of our podcast. You probably have heard it before, but especially when I have folks who utilize equipment on the podcast, I'd like to remind you guys that everything we are saying today is in relation to one story or other stories. You are unique. Everybody is different. Be sure to talk with all of your medical professionals, and none of this is considered to be medical advice by any stretch of the imagination. Let's get started. We have someone joining us again for this podcast. I'll let her do her quick bio in case you haven't heard of her before or heard of her on the podcast. Kara, who are you? What do you do? And why are you here?
Thanks for asking me to join you today. I am Kara Coughlin. I am the Director of Regulatory Science for Permobil, and my background is in materials engineering. In this role, I wear a few hats, but one of them is to be actively involved in the development of international standards for wheelchairs and wheelchair seating, and then bringing that knowledge and that engineering connection back into our product development team and all the ways that we work to improve our products to make them better for our users. So I bring the scientific underpinnings to the designs and then connect that up with what we're trying to accomplish clinically.
Nice. And actually, I mentioned Kara's been on our podcast before. We did a really cool podcast which actually talks about standards and help you guys understand what that is. So if anybody was really like, you know, really want to understand the science of things and how what standards are, go back a few episodes, you'll be able to catch that. We also have joining us from the Minneapolis area, Mr. Bobby Brown. Bobby, who are you? What do you do? And why in the world did we have you on this podcast about cushions?
I'm an R&B singer. No, I'm joking. joking. Well, first, let me just say thank you for inviting me, Angie, to this podcast. I appreciate it. This is actually my first podcast being a part of. I am a wheelchair user, yes. I have been for, I think, 25 years, maybe less, probably less. I'm going to say less. I suffered a spinal cord injury when I was 15 from a GSW. I just found out these acronyms, a medical term, but from a gunshot wound when I was 15. It was a drive-by shooting. I've been using a wheelchair ever since then.
Help people get to know you a little bit more, Bobby. Tell me about, like, what do you do for a living? Are you a family man? All that good stuff. Brag about yourself.
Brag about that's hard for me to do. But if I had my proud mother on here, she would do all the bragging, or my daughter. So I am a family man. I've been married for about 11 years, been together for 20 years. To my lovely wife, we met in college, and we have a three-year-old COVID baby, we call him. And she's most definitely, if you know what a COVID baby is, you understand my pain and my joy at the same time. Yeah. I'm a clinical psychologist. I do therapy.
You do therapy. Peds, adults?
Both.
All the things.
Yeah. Not really peds, but what's peds? What's peds?
Pediatric. So let's say, I mean, in the world of therapy, we usually say 21 years and younger. So okay. Pediatrics. So yeah.
So peds. Sure. I do peds, cool. but not not babies. Yeah.
Not babies. Yeah. Gotcha, gotcha. All right, well, cool. As I mentioned before, we really want to talk about cushions. This is something that I think a lot of folks struggle with making decisions. And we, of course, if you're someone who uses a wheelchair, Bobby, you can probably speak to this a little bit. I'm sure you look towards your clinical team that you're working with. You said you've been in a wheelchair for, we'll say, over 20 years. Going back and forth in a whole decision-making process for you, how did you learn about wheelchair cushions? Just as someone who, I know, obviously you were injured when you were 15. So
yeah,
I'm sure that was a lot of like...
To be honest, wheelchair cushions was like the last thing on my mind when I was injured. I mean, you know, 15, whole life change experience, a very traumatic experience, undeserving experience, right? So my family was there. And so my whole understanding of even being in a wheelchair and how they work, I had no clue, right? And so all the information that I did receive came from the physical therapist that was at the hospital that I recovered at. And that was pretty much the source of where I received most of my knowledge, my initial knowledge, I would say.
Would you say your knowledge has increased as you've aged? And have you been more motivated to learn about cushions as you've aged?
Yes, to all those questions. Yeah, no, my knowledge has most definitely increased over the years. Again, I've been injured for over 20 years. Actually, if I'm doing the math right, it's at least 30 years, going to be 30 years. And God, I'm old. Sorry. And so, yeah, my knowledge has increased a lot. I've done a lot of research on my own. My interest in cushions, they most definitely increased because I've needed to really pay attention to just how I'm sitting, how long I'm sitting, preventative measures to take to avoid pressure sores. That's the word I'm looking for.
Absolutely. Yeah, we knew it was coming to you. We're recording this late in the afternoon or evening, right, guys. So
I'm still in my office. Yeah, at work. I'm like having brain farts right now. I don't know if you can hear them. They're embarrassing, but yes.
It's okay. Don't worry. So you did mention a term, pressure ulcers. Now, this is actually, I'm going to have our scientists kind of chime in here on this because that term has changed in recent years, hasn't it, Kara?
What's led
to the change?
Yeah, the current terminology that we use is pressure injuries, and they used to be called bed sores, but obviously you don't just get them in bed. So that was part of that evolution. And then they were called pressure ulcers for quite a while, but an ulcer is that open wound that's visible. And sometimes the pressure injuries can begin inside the body where you can't see them until they've progressed through. Having that new understanding about how they can start from the inside out, outside in, and present different ways and be caused by different things. National Pressure Injury Advisory Panels, they're now called, has decided that pressure injury is a better term to capture all of those wounds.
And don't worry, Bobby, we are all trying to remember to say that, those of us that have been doing this for a while. Here, I'll go ahead and we'll see if she picks up on this, Bobby. But one of your good friends, this is a true story. Yesterday, we're getting getting some information together to go on a social media post. And one of the words that she missed, it referred to pressure injuries as ulcers. And about 3 minutes after it went live, she called me going, "You got to edit that. I screwed up. I didn't catch it." So the wonderful Nicole caught herself. But so don't worry, even those of us who have been doing this for a while, we forget the new terms too. But it is super important. I think a lot of it, when it comes to pressure injuries, we think about that for funding. We know, and I've always said this, when it comes to the complex rehab technology, I refer to funding as the F word of our industry. It really is. Funding is not fun. So I think it's important because for folks to take it more seriously from all parts of the world. But as we progress through this conversation about cushions and whatnot, Bobby, what are you sitting on now? This for all the other wheelchair nerds like myself out there. What type of cushion do you use?
So I have a Rojo, I think it's a Select. That might be it. It's half foam and half Rojo air cells cushion. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Hybrid Select.
The Hybrid Select. There you go. Thank you. Yes, 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 yes. And, you know, I find that this cushion is perfect for me. Mm-hmm. Absolutely perfect.
We are not paying him to say that. We're not paying him to say that. Yeah, just FYI, friends.
Would, actually, I wish you would pay me to say this, these things. Yeah, let's figure that out. I could be a paid actor. The reason why I enjoy this cushion, the Hybrid Select, is because it gives me the stability. Also, it gives me the pressure relief that I most definitely need on my, what is the area? Not coccyx? Is it
your ischials, your coccyx bone? Like, yeah.
Those are the terms that I've heard. I have no clue what it means. But yeah, just on the areas that have a lot of pressure on them, you know, it really relieves a lot of the pressure. I do feel like I'm like bouncing on a cloud. It does feel comfortable. I don't have any issues whatsoever with this chair, with this cushion.
So I got to ask, because the nerd in me, we openly call ourselves wheelchair nerds. And podcast is meant for people who utilize, prescribe, or provide equipment. So the nerd in me, and I can remember vividly being back in clinic. I started out in 2000 was my first year out of undergrad. And Kara, we would see physicians write evaluation for a Rojo. Now, therapists would definitely get kind of like antsy because we don't like, you know, brands dictated, as therapists don't like that dictated. But can you talk to us a little bit about the history of Rojo? Who created it? I want to say you guys have a Rojo birthday coming up. I think it's been around for what, 50 years?
We do. Yeah, it's a huge milestone. 50 years this year. So we'll have a big party, of course. Yeah, I think it's such a great story because the Rojo cushion was invented by Robert H. Grabe. He's an engineer here in the St. Louis area from Belleville, Illinois. He worked for McDonnell Douglas. I think he's an electrical engineer. But he had a friend who was a physician who took him and showed him his patients and said, these pressure injuries, or at the time, these bed sores or pressure ulcers, these are a serious problem for my patients. And I lose a lot of patients to these from infection. What can we do about this? What does your engineering brain think we can do about this? Mr. G, as we sometimes call him, Mr. G went off and just started really thinking about this problem from a physics standpoint. And he thought about the pressure that you do feel when you are seated. You've got your bones pressing against those tissues, and you've got high pressure areas, and your tissues are getting squished and deformed. And he thought about, how can we maintain the shape of the body? He thought, I think this is key. If you can keep your shape, it's got to protect the tissues longer. So he thought about scuba divers and people in water. You know, when are you most comfortable? When you're in the swimming pool and you're completely buoyant and you're supported by the water. And he thought about, how could he apply that to the design of a cushion? If it was just about the pressure itself, how come scuba divers don't get pressure injuries? Well, it's because that pressure is even all around them. And again, their bodies are not getting deformed. Their shape is being held in its proper shape. Those tissues aren't getting squished. He played around with a lot of ideas with water, and obviously, like, sitting on a water-filled cushion would have all kinds of problems.
This was okay. So I got to do the math on this. So you said 50 years, 2023.
So
like the 80s, 70s. Okay, so 70s. Wasn't that about the time, y'all, of like when waterbeds were like really like...
Right. Yeah, exactly.
We got a whole class of Gen Xers, I believe, on this podcast for you guys. We're thinking back to our young days.
Right.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, since water just wasn't really a practical solution, it was going to be heavy, it was going to slosh around, that wouldn't work. He thought about, what's another fluid that could support you and you could be immersed in? And he thought about air. Literally in his garage, he started playing around with different shapes that kind of look like an upside down egg carton, and different cylinders and different numbers of fins on these cylinders or these egg shapes. And he was dipping them in his garage. He would come up with an idea and he would go to the hospitals and talk to physicians he knew and physical therapists, back and forth, until he finally had a design that people thought would work. The thought is that each of these cells has air in it, but that air can flow in between. So it's not just that there's air, it's that as someone sits on it and moves and shifts, that cushion moves and shifts with them, just like when you're in the swimming pool. It's always there, always supporting you, always reacting to you. Can I tell a quick story about the ADA?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
So I really like this story. In St. Louis, there's a place called the Starkloff Disability Institute, and it was founded by Max and Colleen Starkloff in the, I think, mid-70s, early 80s. Max Starkloff met Mr. G, Mr. Gravy. Max was quadriplegic. He had been in bed for like a decade. Got connected up with Mr. Gravy as he was trying different designs. He was one of the people that would give feedback about what works and what doesn't. Once there was something that was working, Max got one of the Rojo cushions and was able to get out of bed, be in a power wheelchair. And he and his wife were two of the main list of people that helped launch the ADA movement. They were right there hand in hand with Judy Heumann. They, in St. Louis, are the reason our buses lower down and we have curb cutouts. And now, of course, that's spread nationally. But I love the story that a Rojo cushion was like a catalyst for that. And that's just one person doing amazing things. And think about all the people in the world that need a wheelchair and a cushion and can get out and be in the world and be safer longer and accomplish all these great things. It just like gives me goosebumps. I think it's fantastic.
It's wild to think about. I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, when we utilize equipment, you know, a lot of the stuff, even some of our everyday stuff, has been created out of a need to help people with physical disabilities, medical situations, sensory disabilities, like visual impairments, hearing impairments. I mean, I always laugh and on my iPhone when it does like word prediction, because I can remember when companies first came up with word prediction to help out with folks that have learning disabilities. I was recommending those to students back when I was working at a pediatric hospital. I'm like, and now it's on my freaking phone. So oh, I mean, wow, yeah. Isn't that crazy? So it's interesting to see how stuff becomes mainstream. So another thing I want to hear about a little bit from the science part of this, Kara, is Bobby mentioned he's using a cushion that has Rojo cells and foam. So when did a cushion like that come about roughly?
I know that over the years we've had some different designs that are combinations of foam and air. I know when I started with Rojo almost 20 years ago, they had a model that was similar. But then that design has advanced and we have a hybrid elite and then now the hybrid select like you're sitting on, Bobby. The thought there is exactly like what you said. If you need that pressure injury protection in a vulnerable area, but you also want to be really cradled and supported and that fits the things you're trying to do, then that's a really great option. I love that we've got a number of different products, all with different features. Almost all of them incorporate the Rojo air cells, but everybody is unique and has different needs. There is no one size fits all. We can look at the different properties of the cushions and just try to match up to what each person is looking for and needs for their lives. I think that's great. We've got that wide variety.
For sure. So Bobby, when I think about your cushion, how did the way that you transfer in and out of your chair impact your cushion selection? Did it at all? Because some of my friends who utilize wheelchairs, they talk about they don't want to be on a surface, like the cover sometimes can be tacky and they don't want to mess up their skin as they transfer over to something, or they need a little bit of additional foam support to help them feel stable. Did any of that go into your thought process when choosing your cushion?
Not really for transferring. I think transferring, I don't know if the cushion selection was determined because of my transferring. I think more so along the lines of my activity, what I like to do, right? Okay. How long I'm sitting in the chair. So I went from like a full Rojo, which is just all the air cells, to the Select. Before then, I had another brand, I don't even know what it was, but it was more gel. I knew I didn't want gel because that popped and it got all over. And also the gel would get hard. In certain areas, the gel, it was not for me. It wasn't for me. Let me just say that. Yeah, it wasn't for me. Going from the gel to the full Rojo, it was mind-blowing because I had never, I mean, just sitting so comfortably, I didn't know was a thing.
Do you have sensation? Like, are you able to feel, I don't know if your injury was complete or incomplete?
It's... What is it? Complete?
Complete-ish.
Okay. Yes. Let's say that. Because, right, all injuries are different. And so I do have some sensation, some pressure sensation when I'm sitting. So I went from the full Rojo to the Select because I really wanted to be more physical. I love working out. I've gone through this huge change with my health, stemming from a pressure injury.
You got it.
Did I get that right? Hey. All right. Pressure injury. Yeah, I just had made my mind up that I was going to lose weight, get healthy. And so the Select offered a little more support, a little more, I guess, cradling, made me feel a little more in control, a little more stability that I was looking for when, you know, just doing all those exercises, the movements, it really helps me maintain more stability. My therapist at the time was all about the Select. I mean, all about it. It was like, no, you have to get it. You have to try it. You have to. I promise you're going to love it. And she was absolutely right. Absolutely right.
If you were to give advice to anybody else listening to this, whether they are independent for transfers like you are or completely dependent, when you go in for that wheelchair and seating evaluation, what are some tips that you would give to your peers? Like, hey, you need to make sure you're telling your therapist what? Like, what are the things that you would want them? Because sometimes people go in and the seating specialist are people they've never met before because it's a separate part of the facility they're going to. So this person is meeting them for the first time. What are some things related to seating and cushion selection that you think people should be sure they share with their clinicians?
To say, like, number one thing, how long you're in your chair. I think for me, that was like the number one most important thing. And I had just recovered from a pressure injury. And that was the thing that we really needed to evaluate, what would work for me. Because I am, you know, I am at work. I work at an office, not at home, right? So I'm in my chair the majority of the day. Mm-hmm. A long, like hours, you know? And so that's probably the number one thing that I would pay most attention to talk about is how long you're in your chair, how many breaks do you get, how often are you able to get out of your chair. I also think, what's your level of activity? Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. Are you a person that likes to go on strolls at night? Are you pushing yourself? Are you in a motorized chair? Those things are all important. But you have to be honest with yourself and with your level of comfort and pay attention to what that means for you, right? Because it could mean something totally different to another person. I think that's really important. Just really pay attention to your body, what your body needs, and be vocal about it.
Being vocal is key. That's what I would always tell families. I worked primarily in pediatrics, and I would oftentimes, if the child was over 3-4 years old, I was obviously asking them questions, trying to get as much information from them as humanly possible. They used a communication device. I would make sure that they had the ability to weigh in, because I think sometimes there's a, I don't know, like an embarrassment level, right? Like, especially if you're talking about continence or incontinence, like people are like, I don't want to tell people that sometimes I have bowel and bladder issues. Like, that's embarrassing.
Right.
No,
yeah.
Like you need to be sharing that, especially when it relates to your cushion and your seating selection. I mean, there's different, correct me if I'm wrong, Kara, but there's different technologies and cushions and cover and all that sort of good stuff that need to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
another thing I think it's important to talk about is the care that goes into different types of cushions. Because you mentioned that there, you know, you had a full air cell cushion at one point, and then of course there is this hybrid version. So were you trained on how to properly inflate and, you know, deflate if needed? And Bobby, how hard is it? Were you prepared for it? Was it more than you expected or anything?
So I was trained by my physical therapist. It was terribly easy. It is terribly easy to understand. It's just really intuitive, I guess, right? Like, you don't, it's air. So you have a pump. If you need to put more air in, you put more air in. If you don't, take some air out. It's kind of that simple. It's very complex. How it was made and created is very complex, but to be able to use it, it's terribly easy to understand. My daughter knows how to use my air pump for my chair. And for my cushion, and she loves to mess around with the level of air in my cushion every once in a while. She's three. I don't hold it against her. But it is, it's quite easy to learn how to use. Anyone can use it, I believe.
Gotcha. Kara, so what's the sweet spot and what's the science behind it? Because I know Bobby lives, I mentioned, up in the Minneapolis area, so it gets just a little bit chilly there a couple months a year, right, Bob? A couple weeks a year could be some chilly.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. But then you've got people that, you know, I've got good friends that are down in the Tampa, Florida area, and it is hot and humid. And what do people need to understand when it comes to the science behind inflation and deflation of their aerosol Rojo cushions?
Yeah, that's part of the beauty of the design of the cushion, that it is something that you adjust yourself for your environment and your own body. Mm-hmm. So the thought is that, if I can throw a little physics in, the pressure that you are seeing where you're seated, pressure is just force over area. Your force, mm-hmm. force of gravity pulling down, you can't do anything about that. What you can do is increase the area that you're sitting on. And mm-hmm. you do that by sinking into the cushion. So it really conforms to your shape and it cradles you and it is supporting you. Yeah, in different environments, like if you go up in an airplane, you might get a little extra internal air pressure that you might need to let out sometimes, or depending on even just climbing up a mountain. But it really is more about your ability to control it and sink in. And we tend to say, make sure you have like a half inch to an inch of wiggle room, because mm-hmm. we don't want you, what we call bottomed out. We don't want you sinking all the way to the bottom and starting to get peak pressures. We want you to be floating, like you said, like you're floating on a cloud. Give yourself a little wiggle room, knowing you're going to move around and pop off curbs and do things throughout the day. It really is as simple as that.
Yeah. You know, when we're thinking about this idea for this podcast, I really wanted to make sure this is not an advertisement for Rojo. It really is more kind of talking about the decision-making. And I knew that bringing Bobby on here, originally being injured at 15 years old, he has matured over time. Gosh, Kara, you're a part of, I'm not going to get their acronym right, the National Pressure
Injury Advisory Panel. Yeah, NPIAP.
Yeah.
It's a mouthful, I know.
Like that acronym. Wonderful people, do great work. But I mean, the reality is pressure injuries are still something that's important. And the cushion's not the only thing that goes into it, right? Like proper right. health, nutrition, moisture. What else am I missing? I mean, there's a lot of different
like
things.
Your back support, having a proper back support, that can take mm-hmm. some of that load off of your seated area. Being able to tilt and recline and being able to offload and thinking about all the surfaces you sit on. Within our product families, we even have toilet covers that are made with the same Rojo air cells, especially for people that have extensive toileting. So that helps. And even for beds, we have mattress overlays. Those have historically been used in hospital settings for the most part, but also in home care for a lot of different types of people, and especially people that are ill and just can't roll over in bed. They're at the same kind of risk. If they're stuck in a position all night, that pressure can start to cause a problem, hence the bed sores.
I think a lot of people don't realize how serious pressure injuries are. Talking about Mr. G initially, when he was working with the gentleman, kind of think the idea, you very casually said, you know, the physician was losing patients. And I would, you know, make sure people understand losing means they were dying. Like that's just exactly. The long and short. I think a lot of times when working in clinics and interacting with folks, a lot of people really get, I don't want to say caught up, but I guess the visual aesthetics of the actual frame of the wheelchair, whether you're going for a manual chair or you're going for a power. And that's the first thing, because you think about that, because that's what other people see. But really and truly, the seating element is vital, you know, arguably vital.
Absolutely.
You don't know that until you actually experience it. Let me just say that. Like, you really don't pay attention to it unless you experience it. And it is extremely vital. The healing process from a pressure injury is extremely extensive. It can be painful. It was for me. For me, it was a long process. And I had other health issues going on. Go ahead.
Can you ballpark, like, a couple of different questions? Because the medical version of me is like, what level injury? Because I know we say a stage X, whatever. What stage did your pressure injury get to?
Yeah, I don't know the proper terms, but I needed to have surgery.
Okay. Did you get the flap surgery?
I did get a flap surgery.
Okay.
That was like the last resort type of ordeal. We had been working for a couple of years.
Years, wow.
Yeah, to heal this. And it just progressively got worse. There was an incident in a hospital that caused it to get worse. I was in the hospital for a gallbladder surgery. My gallbladder, I had a gallstone that was the size of a ping pong ball. And I was left on my shower chair commode for a very long time.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I did not have the Rojo supportive cushion on my shower chair commode, which I do now. And let me tell you, that thing is wonderful.
I mean, good to hear it.
It is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. It works well. I recommend everyone, able-body, non-able-body, whoever, get you a Rojo toilet seat cushion.
You thought the heated seats were cool or were more interesting.
No.
Nothing.
Got nothing. Yes. on the Rojo version.
No, you don't. And so my injury was pretty extensive. It did take a while to heal. We ended up doing the flap surgery, and that was wonderful. And I was extremely hyper-vigilant about my seating after that, because once you go through that type of pain.
Did you have to be out of work? Were you off your butt? Because I'm picturing some of the, because I worked with kiddos, as I mentioned. I remember vividly, we had a 16-year-old who, GSW, so gunshot wound, and in DC. And I remember, I can picture him just as clear as day. He was in one of the air beds, but we would discharge him and he would come back to us and come back to us. I remember he spent months there and on a wound vac, and he had to be on a prone cart because he couldn't sit on his butt because he was a age-appropriate, ornery teenager who didn't want to do his pressure relief. I mean, it was, I hope he's still alive today. I'm out of the hospital for well over 13 years now, and that was when I first started. But I think about him a lot when I think about pressure injuries, and just how long Antoine had to be on the prone cart. He missed years of school.
I was off work for almost a year, about 8 months. I was off work in the hospital. It was long. It was long and painful, and I don't wish that experience on anyone at all.
It's crazy to think about, Kara. Like, I wonder, does Mr. G, and I know he is long since retired, living happily with his family down in Florida, but do his generations after him within his family, do they have any idea the impact that, you know, Mr. G's creation has had on the world?
They do. And in fact, he has moved back up to Belleville. So he's close to all of his children and grandchildren. And one of his grandchildren actually worked in our R&D department for quite a while. So yeah, they're still very close to like the mission, you could call it. And I think they're all just incredibly proud. We also talk about the fact that we estimate that at any given time, there are over 1 million people on Rojo products, which is kind of mind blowing to me because we are, you know, they're all over the world. We make like, I think it's 4,500 a week, which is also mind blowing to me. Mm-hmm. Think about all those stories, all those lives that are so much better because they have some kind of solution to help them be healthier and safer longer. So it really is amazing. And if the Starkloff Disability Institute that I mentioned earlier, Colleen Starkloff honored Mr. Gravy with a Lifetime Achievement Award. It was about 5 years ago. That was really moving. And, you know, they presented him with a plaque. They told that story about the impact the cushion has had. I was really moved by him saying, I was just an engineer trying to solve a problem. He was just overcome with emotion with all of the effect that it had. So it was really beautiful. It was really an exciting, cool event.
That's super cool. I mean, something that has touched so many lives in so many ways. I think people just don't ever realize that. As we said, you know, your seating is something that you have to take very seriously. Rojo might not be the answer for you, but it's really neat to see or to hear, I should say, about the care and the science behind creating this. Has the Rojo design changed much over the years?
It's pretty close. I mean, the cell shapes have changed a little bit and been optimized, and new features have been added, like the isoflow on the Select series to let you lock air in different locations if you need more stability and, you know, some variations like that, but really the fundamental design is pretty much the same. think that's just such a testament to how well it worked and still works. One thing that I really liked in my role a couple years ago, well, and still, it was working with researchers that do computer simulations in the cushion, and they can put them together, and you can compare contrast. If this like computer simulated person is seated on hard foam, what's happening inside the body? How's that tissue getting compressed? What are the stresses and strains? And you can seat that simulated person on a Rojo and see that difference and really quantify it. And so to me, it's so cool that now we have all this technology that can do that level of analysis that didn't exist in 1973, but it's all yeah. proving the thoughts that he had. Like if you can manage that pressure and not deform the body, you're going to be much safer much longer. And yeah, computer simulations have shown that today. So I think that's so cool that it's come around and new technology still supports that thinking and that approach.
That's awesome. I love it. Well, I think that is pretty much going to wrap up our podcast episode. I think it was a really, really cool way to end it, Kara, tying a bow around it, as they say. Bobby, thank you so much for participating in your very first podcast. Hey, we may have you back. You've got a nonprofit organization, don't you?
I do. Yeah, Bobby Brown's Beyond the Court Violence Prevention Initiative. It was started a year after my family. We were victimized in a drive-by shooting. We've been doing preventative work for, over 20 years, almost 30 years, about 30 years. The goal is to ensure that no one experiences the trauma, the pain, the financial distress that gun shot wounds actually cause. You know, we just want to save lives like Rojo is saving lives.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Love Maybe we'll bring that. You back and have you do a short podcast on some cool experiences with that, because that'd be neat to hear about, because it's fun about being a part of Wheelchair Nurse. We've met so many cool people, from the therapist that we just had on talking about school-based, going back to school in a wheelchair, to we had a young lady who is now in high school. She told us all about her journey as having cerebral palsy, going through school with her mother, and we've had a travel agent on. So it's really cool. It's really kind of a fun community that we're building here with our Wheelchair Nerds. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Kara, thank you as always. And we will be sure to chat with both of you again soon. Thanks, guys.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Angie.
Thank you, Angie.
It's so nice to meet you, Bobby.
Nice meeting you too.
Thank you for listening to Wheelchair Nerds, presented by Permobil. Today's episode was brought to you by
Rojo's been around for 50 years. Can you believe it? 50 years. That's because science wins in the end, and it doesn't change over time.
Thanks for checking out this episode. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single one. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is @WheelchairNerds. And tell your friends about our podcast, too. Oh, and we really appreciate it if you'd give us a 5-star rating and leave a comment sharing what your favorite thing about Wheelchair Nerds is. Last but not least, if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss or know a great guest, hey, it could even be you. You could be that next great guest. Send us an email. Tell us why. You can reach us at wheelchairnerds@permobil.com or DM us on one of our social platforms. We love hearing from you.